Welcome to The Performer's Mind, a podcast for those who experience the struggles of needing to perform in any capacity of life.
In this interview with Brad Green, we discuss some of the ways he's changed over the years. He's a guitarist from Melbourne who has performed in a variety of environments for a variety of acts, including some you'll know. So he's got some really interesting experiences to draw from. He's pretty comfortable in taking on feedback, but knows you can't please everyone, and so concludes there's no point trying. I've known Brad for years. We do tend to get slightly carried away with super valuable content, of course. So we've cut this interview up into two parts. Here's part one. Brad Green.
Hey, mate.
How you going?
Good. How are you going?
Good. So I did some maths the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to spin you out.
Yeah.
I think it was 10 years ago that we were in Abu Dhabi.
No way.
How does that make you feel?
10 years older than when we were in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it would be.
Yeah, 10 years ago. Wow.
I know.
That was wild.
Yep. Anyway, what have you done in the last 10 years, Brad?
Just had a coffee. That was pretty good. I don't know.
Well, I know something that you've done in the last 10 years.
Go on.
You just had a chat with this dude out the front of your house.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, he followed us.
Yeah.
And was apparently going to Adelaide and had a creepy laugh. And
yeah,
you managed it really well.
I guess for everyone listening, like I'm currently living in a part of Footscray that isn't really known for being, I don't know what, gentrified?
Yeah.
So there's some characters out here that are pretty...
You seemed pretty well rehearsed at that whole scenario.
Yeah. Mm. But, yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, it was real. It was definitely real.
So that's happened in the last 10 years.
Yeah. So he, like, was just one of the undesirables of Footscray. Well, not undesirables, I shouldn't say that, but just.
I can't believe you.
But,
you
know.
You can't say that about people, Brad.
I know. But I guess he's, I don't want to, what are the other words? How else could you describe?
He clearly has some sort of addiction illness.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Undesirable.
Well, I don't know. It's, well, I mean, undesirable, you don't necessarily want them to, do you know what? Come on, mate.
No, that was really mean.
Okay. You can edit all that part out, right?
Yeah, we'll edit
but
it.
But, yeah, he was kind of scary.
Oh, there's no doubt I was a bit scared.
Yeah.
But you had it handled, so it was all okay.
Did I, though?
I don't know.
Well, I had it handled up to the point where if he was going to, you know, pull out a weapon or something like that, it could have been a bit weird. But, you know, anyway. It was a bit weird.
Yeah.
It was a bit weird.
It was unexpected. Spontaneous. Yeah.
To put it into context, I've got two female friends that live like in the apartment block that I'm in. And I know they walk home from the station. So I just sent them a message going, hey, just heads up because this could get pretty real. You
so
know.
Brad's a hero.
Well, I'm not a hero. No, I'm not. I ran inside my apartment when he followed me. To...
No, you invited him in.
I didn't invite him in.
You were like... I opened the door
and I told you two to go in there.
And he just walked in there.
And then I said, not you, you come out. And then he came out and then you walked in.
That was funny, that bit. We haven't talked about that. That bit was funny when he just walked in.
Yeah,
that
it was all a bit weird. It was definitely a bit odd. Anyway.
Yeah, so aside from that, have you been doing for the last 10 years?
Gee, a lot. Bits and pieces.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I need more information.
I guess I've been studying, I've been playing gigs, I've been getting involved in creative projects, I've been...
Okay, so let's slow down.
Yeah,
what have you been studying?
Music, definitely.
Yep.
So right now, my friends are probably sick of hearing about this, but I'm just finishing off my master's degree. At Box Hill. I did my undergraduate at Box Hill, which took quite a long time because I'm pretty bad at school.
No, you're just easily distracted.
Very.
With other things.
Yeah, very. That's a probably good point.
Yeah, there are other opportunities that have come up during your...
Yeah, it's not like I dipped out of school just because I couldn't hang it. I was kind of out doing sort of gigs and stuff like that. And
okay, so now let's talk about that. What sort of gigs have you been doing?
I guess I would say I'm a freelance performer, freelance musician. I hate this part.
I know.
Don't we all hate this part? Yeah. This is the worst part.
I've not seen you so wriggly before.
Yeah, it's weird. Big noting yourself. You feel like a bit of a...
a big noter?
Yeah, big noter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, don't big note yourself. Just tell us what you've done.
Okay. So I guess I've been fortunate enough to do a lot of different gigs. I sing, I play guitar. I'm getting my head around keyboards and synths and pianos and stuff like that. But, you know, I've been lucky enough to sort of be on big stages, be on small stages, stadiums and cafes and everything in between. So, yeah. I guess just a whole bunch of different stuff recording.
Right. You're really uncomfortable with that question, aren't you?
Well, that's, I don't know. How do you, you know?
I thought you'd be.
I don't think anyone would be comfortable with that question.
Why?
I don't know. It's such an odd
what
question.
What gigs have you done? Oh, I guess well, so. I've done this and I've done that. You're not saying, and I'm a legend.
All right.
You should have seen me do this thing. I was the best and everyone loved me.
And everyone. I got my own hashtag.
You don't have to deliver it that way. You know what
I'm
saying?
I guess so. Probably the bigger things that I've done that I like to sort of recall, I was on the Whitney Houston tour when she toured in Australia, but I was with the supporting act, which was Anthony Kalia.
Yes.
So we did the whole country, which was pretty wild. So I've been working with Anthony for quite a while. I also was lucky enough to do the Mariah Carey support, first time she came out with Anthony. But then again, I did the second time Mariah came out, I was able to do the support with one of the X Factor contestants, who's a friend of mine as well, Nathaniel, who's an amazing singer. So that was pretty awesome. Recently, I played Blues Fest with a hip hop group called Remy.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy that gig and really love that music, which is awesome.
Yep.
I was lucky enough to support, like, open up for Jose Feliciano and more recently Dionne Warwick and Blood, Sweat and Tears, which was quite cool. Just me solo, just playing guitar and singing.
Crazy.
So I was able to play the Palais Theatre.
Yep.
As well as Palms, and I think Dion was Palais as well. So that was pretty great doing.
And all
theaters.
I know is I've watched the Good Friday Appeal. I've seen you on that.
Right, yeah.
What else? I've watched the footy. I think I've seen you.
Yeah, oh man, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I guess I'm.
You do things.
I do.
You're the real deal.
Ah, you know, well.
You know how to play guitar. And well, man, do you know how to perform, Brad Green?
You need pause it. You need to calm down.
What's the performance mind?
That's, yeah,
yeah, I've got to
no,
bring,
no, you got it. You
I've got
it.
To bring it back.
Yeah.
Okay. So some would perhaps call you a quality muso, Brad. I'd probably call you a quality muso.
Thanks, mate.
To be a quality muso, you got to know your stuff, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You can't kind of fake it.
That's true.
And in order to know your stuff, it takes plenty of practice. Plenty of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that sometimes you're too self-critical?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
So how do you manage that?
I think now I try and minimize the goal. So I feel like too many people, I guess this is maybe my teacher part coming out of me, too many students I've taught have made the goal of being better at music way too big.
Right.
So they compare themselves as students. They compare themselves to, you know, their heroes musically, mm-hmm. which is awesome. Like, everyone should have, you know, musical heroes, but they might see what John Mayer's done and then they try and write a song thinking that they're going to write something like John Mayer and it doesn't come out like John Mayer at all, and they get really down on themselves. And, you know, I kind of try and have to explain to them that John Mayer's had quite a career.
Yeah. Got a bit of experience on
Definitely has some experience. Yeah. I'm pretty sure John Mayer has written some horrible songs.
Yeah.
We just haven't heard them.
Yeah.
So every song that these young songwriters write, it's practice. It's sort of learning the craft of songwriting. So I feel like it's better for me to sort of get them to just write anything rather than write a huge smash hit that's going to sort of cement their career for the next 25 years.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose the thing is with time, you do improve. Hey?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You get better with time. So it's like you just got to start. You got to start and then bit by bit you will actually get there.
No, yeah, absolutely. You do have to be patient, but I feel minimizing the goal is definitely one of those things that we can all do. Like, for example, at the moment, I don't really know how to play piano. I don't really know how to play keys. However, I'm getting my head around it. I clearly know what I'm doing.
in terms of music language.
Yeah, music. Yeah, music language. I know my theory. I know my harmony. I know sort of tricks and all those sort of things. But I know them on the guitar. So thinking about it on the guitar is much easier because I see the guitar fretboard. I see shapes, but on piano I don't see those shapes yet. I'm learning those shapes, so I don't get too critical on myself at the moment with keys playing. Because I know that I'm just starting out. Mm. However, I also know that if I really need to learn something, I just spend as much time as I can on it. And usually the first day I'll be absolutely horrible at it. Really, really terrible. Like, you know, can't play anything in rhythm, can't play anything in time, wrong notes all over the place. My hands just aren't going where they should go on the piano, and they don't have the bounce and all that sort of stuff. And they're just, you know, the foot pedals all over the place.
Yep.
It's all just clumsy. It's, you know, and you don't feel great about yourself. However, I know that the next day when I get up and, you know, grab coffee or whatever and then head in and then sit down at the piano and do it and practice it again, I know it'll come together pretty quickly.
Improvement does happen. And you've seen that in your own guitar life, right?
Definitely.
Or voice or whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just, I guess it's just one of those things of just being persistent, but also if I really had to learn a piece, then I would just make sure I just spent as much time as I could on it.
Yeah.
So like maybe the first day it'll be bad, the second day it'll be a bit better, and the third day, you know, things is really starting to come together. You know, which is really it's
patience.
It's definitely.
You're a patient person.
No, not patient at all.
Wow. Because it sounds like you're really patient.
For this stuff, I am. But I just like I've definitely tried to over practice things. And it's never worked out. I've worked very, very hard, but not very smart. So, of course, practicing scales for 8 hours a day is really, really great. But if you go and try and play a gig or if you go and do a performance and you haven't practiced the material or you haven't practiced songs or if you haven't, you know what I mean, you've just been drilling exercises, then you're going to be really, really good at performing exercises when someone asks you to perform an exercise. However, you're not going to be great at performing the song.
Yeah, things are going to come apart pretty quickly.
So learning keys at the moment for me is really great because I don't really know what I'm doing, but I kind of know enough about what I'm doing to get around it. I just need a couple of days to get my head around it. Often,
but it's sort of reminding you of that when you first started out.
Yeah, definitely.
How old were you when you started playing guitar?
Like around the house, like maybe 9 or 10 or something.
Right.
But then I think I started.
Were you crap? Were you?
Oh, yeah, terrible. Yeah, terrible. Yeah.
When did you start getting all right?
I don't know. I remember the time my teacher at the time, that was good. My teacher at the time was, it's a real cool guy who was really into sort of all the guitar-y things that guitarists are into. And he just got me playing songs.
Mm.
And like I was transcribing songs, and after a while I just kind of had a bit of a knack for it. And I really enjoyed it, and it wasn't a chore playing music and playing
guitar.
So how
old was that?
I don't know, maybe 12-ish, 13.
Oh, 3 years and boom, you're transcribing tunes. I don't think you're that crap, bro.
Mate, I'm not transcribing Corey Henry melodies or anything like that. I'm talking
you
about
my brown-eyed girl.
I think it was like a Soundgarden album, like Bad Motorfinger or something like that. And there was just a couple
of
chunky guitar riffs and power chords. Like I knew what a power chord was and I was like, great, this is me.
That's all I need.
This is me.
I'm set.
Yeah, where's the stage?
all right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about projection because in the last podcast I discussed the idea of projection.
Sure.
And how often we assume that others think and feel the same way that we do.
Mm.
So I talked about the whole thing of when we find ourselves fearing people's judgment,
mm-hmm.
perhaps we actually need to look at ourselves and how we're judging others.
Mm.
So on that topic, Brad, do you have a fear of others judging you and your playing?
Well, first of all, what you were telling us about on the other podcast about your sister, the projection thing. Yeah, completely. Like I agree with that. So,
it's a thing. It's real, right?
Yeah. So someone should, if you want to hear about that, go back and listen to it. But it's just basically just talking about projection and what it is. And the question though was, do I worry about people judging me?
Yeah.
Now not so much, but definitely I have.
Right. Let's talk about this.
All right.
Woo!
I guess it used to bother me when I was younger, but now I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm a bit more settled in my sort of workflow and quotation marks career and just my sort of position in what I do and the people I work with. So I don't necessarily worry about it too much anymore because I've had enough experiences and I've had enough sort of achievements, both personal and professional, that I can kind of look back on and just remind myself that, you know, no, I did that. That was really cool. And no, I do know what I'm talking about. And no, I have got this.
Like, so you do have moments where you doubt it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we all do. I think it's part of every sort of performer.
Because I think your reputation is that you're pretty confident.
I definitely am pretty confident. However, that wavers, you know, from situation to situation. So first time I was like my first keys and guitar gig that I've ever done was like earlier on this year.
Mm.
And I was pretty nervous about that because I'd never really played keys before.
Yeah.
Like I kind of knew, I knew how to play a couple of simple triads.
Yeah.
1-3-5.
Yeah.
And I could eventually figure out how to play like a 1-6-2-5 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I like swapping between different instruments and different sort of headspaces of thinking about stuff was pretty weird.
Well, you actually mentioned another situation when you were playing acoustic.
Oh, right.
Guitar, and the sound was perhaps not everything you had hoped it would be.
Oh, and there's so many of those.
Yeah,
that one we were just discussing before was it was like a show at the tennis or something like that, or like I can't remember exactly what it was for. I think it was something for the kids or families or something in Rod Laver, like in the stadium on center court, in between. I don't think it wasn't in between a game, but anyway, it was for some big sort of
event.
Yeah, who knows? I can't remember. It was just me and another X Factor contestant, Taylor Henderson, and it was just me on my guitar. And I was about to walk out on stage, or walk out on center court in front of, like, I think it was packed house, 14,000 people or something, and they were televising it and all this stuff. And the thing was is that because the stadium is so big that there's this like 1 second sort of slapback delay.
Mm.
So if I played a chord or a note on the guitar, there would be a tiny bracket of silence and then the note would come out of the speakers just because the speakers are so far away that they've just naturally have this sort of delay.
Yeah.
So I had to go on in-ears.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but then every now and then the in-ears might fall out or get a bit weird and then you can hear two different signals. Out. You can hear a guitar signal.
All of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I can't play guitar. I'm a terrible musician.
Yeah, just you start freaking out and you start kind of, you know, what if this goes wrong and all these sort of things happen and, you know, but the whole time you kind of got to smile and grin and jump around like you're having the best time in the world.
Yeah. So your confidence comes and goes a little bit.
Yeah, which is, I feel like my confidence is probably largely linked to sort of how comfortable I am with doing the gig. So
yeah.
To talk about back before when I was talking about the keys and guitar thing, like playing a keys and guitar gig, because that was the first one I'd ever done. I just knew that I had to get comfortable enough with it so that I could step up on stage and not really worry about it. So I think I rehearsed that set for that artist like 3 times a day or something like that.
Right.
I just made sure that I knew, like, so I didn't go up there with chords on a sheet. I didn't go up there, you know, with cheat sheets and notes and all this sort of stuff about, oh, there's a hit here, I just learnt the songs for what they were.
Yeah, you did the preparation.
Yeah, so that made me so much more comfortable to step on stage and jump on. And
so
I was just,
when you said you didn't used to be quite as confident or comfortable, is that because you never used to do as much preparation as you do now?
Definitely, I think that's part of it for sure. I was a lot younger and I was a lot sort of more gung-ho about stuff. And also my priorities were probably a bit different. I was prioritizing practicing technique, practicing scales, practicing nerdy guitar shreddy sort of whatever stuff that was never going to get used for the gig, but that I put importance on that instead of putting importance on playing the parts and learning the parts and getting to know the songs better than I, you know, getting to know them to the point where I don't need to, you know, refer to a sheet or anything like that.
So back to this idea of projection.
Yeah, sorry.
Back in the day, you were fearful of people's judgments, perhaps.
Yeah.
Or that was something you considered. Did you used to look at other people?
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely been the aggressor in that. I've definitely judged other people. And that's not, like, that's not a cool thing to do. Don't do that. It's not cool.
Yeah.
But I think what you have to understand when judgment comes is that people are often judging from a personal insecurity of their own.
Look at you.
Look, let's get
Mr. Wise,
get your sneak
man. Yes.
Get your PJs on. We're going to be here for a while. So, like.
Yes. Tell me more about that, Brad.
I'm thinking about a time when I've projected. I'm trying to. I mean, I know there's definitely going to be one. And if any one of my friends are out there listening to it now, they're probably just screaming, just going, this one. I'm just trying to think of a time when I pushed sort of my projected stuff onto someone else, like within sort of the gigging context or something. When I've stepped up on stage with some singers, or I've played a gig with some, I just said singers, but I should have said musicians. because it's definitely, it's can be more of a singer thing, but it's definitely a musician thing.
Okay.
I don't care.
Yeah.
it's definitely what's the word I'm looking for? Like
I
a stereotypical.
Don't know. I'm not helping. Oh.
Stereotypical sort of singer.
Oh,
thing. Yep. Not every singer does this.
Yeah. Okay.
Not every singer does this.
Okay, good.
There are really amazing singers, like probably one or two of them in this room. Yeah. We're pretty amazing. But
good one, Brad.
But there's been plenty of musicians that I've stepped on a stage or whatever with, maybe just even a gig, where they just haven't learnt the songs or something like that. And that's really kind of gotten up my nose. Ooh, like that's really...
That's so awkward.
Especially...
Who looks like the fool? Everyone else probably.
Well, you know, it's just that would kind of make me angry because I spent all this time learning the material.
But that's not really judgment. That's not you going,
well,
like they should have known their stuff. I'm talking about judgment where you're like, oh, I could do better than that person. Why'd they get that gig?
Okay, right. Okay,
stuff like that.
Yeah, sure. That's a different thing.
Yeah. Or things like you're thinking, oh, these people are going to be thinking this about me, or they're going to be thinking that.
Mm.
Oh, they're going to be thinking, geez, his butt's big. And really,
I don't think anyone's going to be thinking that.
And really, it's just because, what if you got a small butt?
And
because
I don't know. I haven't really checked.
No, but you know what I'm saying.
Is there a website where you could check your butt?
Isn't it the size of your pants?
Oh, I mean, well, yeah, but you don't buy, I don't know.
Oh.
I guess my pants have always fit me. I've never had a problem, so I don't really consider my.
Yeah, but do you have a large size pant?
I've got the size pant that fits me.
So who knows if that's
big. Who knows? We've strayed off the performance.
Yes.
We're
so
under pants.
The thing is, right, that is something that people freak out about. When I'm on stage, people are going to think I'm ugly.
Mm, right.
Or whatever. Like, do you ever have those sort of fears? those superficial kind of doesn't really matter big picture, but you still use that as an excuse to feel nervous.
Not.
Or turn down a gig.
Not so much. No, like, I don't know. The reasons why I would have been scared of judgment when I was younger was just because I knew I wasn't that good and I wanted to be better and I wanted people to think that I was that good. But, you know, it was just my when I was younger, I didn't have the skill set that I have now. So of course I would have been a bit more sort of insecure about it. Yeah, and just sort of, I don't know, just getting through it. So I was scared at one point, very, very scared at one point. This was like one of the first times. I actually wrote this down before. Because I was like, oh, this is important. I want to talk about this. But
So you wrote these notes down. You're not using
them. No, I'm not using them. I got dot points, but they're just here. But like,
yeah. Anyway, tell me the story.
Okay, so there's a story. And I was walking into a situation where I was really starting to cut my teeth in Melbourne music. Like I was really starting to work with some guys that were kind of known and people thought they were awesome. So one of them, drummer, Jason Hearer, sing like a monster, play drums like a monster. He's all over YouTube and all that sort of stuff. I think he was The Voice or something.
One of those.
Yeah, yep. But this was years before that. This was probably about 9 or 10 years ago. So him and this keys player who plays keys and left-hand bass, Duncan Kennell, who's a really good friend of mine. So these guys, he wasn't a friend of mine at the time, but these guys were doing this gig and a friend of mine left town, so I got asked to jump in there because they needed someone that could sing a little bit and play guitar. I was freaked out.
Yeah.
Because these guys were kind of like they were kind of big deals, you know, and I wasn't. I was scared of getting on stage with them and not having enough sort of musical language to kind of compete with them and sort
keep
of
keep up with them.
Yeah, keep up with them.
Mm.
So I think I did that. We were doing a Friday night in the city. So I think we just discussed and we said, I'll just do like a handful and then we'll just talk about it afterwards. You know, just that thing of like, I might not be that good. They might not like me. I might not want to do it, all the rest of it. You know, and we're just doing sort of R&B, soul covers, sort of dancey sort of stuff, some reggae. Yeah, I was just freaking out. So the first couple of times I played with them, I was really nervous and really timid, and I didn't really play, you know, just kind of was very safe.
Yeah.
I just made sure, like, solos weren't too long, just sang everything properly and stayed out of the way and just didn't really.
Yeah, test the boundaries.
Yeah, I was scared. I was terrified because I didn't want to mess it up, and I didn't want them to think that I was bad, and I didn't, you know, I was scared of judgment. However, what happened was I think it was on the third week, and me and my friend Duncan, we talk about this every now and then. He just remembers that on that third week, he was like, it was like a totally different person who'd come to the gig.
Yeah, right.
And he was like, I don't know what it was, but you were
Do you remember the transition?
I just stopped caring about what Duncan and Jason thought.
Okay, how did you get to that point? Do you do that?
I don't know. I was just stressing out so much about, I've got to practice like 4 hours a day and make sure I get that down and make sure I get these done, and I really need to get my vocabulary for that. And I was stressing out so much about the gig, which, you know, isn't a bad thing because it just meant I cared and I did put in a lot of hard work for it. But the thing that ultimately got me the gig is that I kind of stopped caring about what other people thought of me, and I just did what I do, which I just played the way that I played. And the way that I play is the way that I have been practicing for so long and the things that I'm into. So musically, it all just kept, you know, it all just went well together. And because I was more comfortable on stage.
You weren't forcing it.
Yeah, I wasn't forcing it. I was really comfortable. I was just kind of having a hit. And the thing that I really cared about was just having a good time and playing music. Because how great is music?
Yeah.
And
you go back to your original motivation, right?
Yeah. But I also sort of just came to the realization that, like, as awesome as both Jason and Duncan are, it doesn't matter if they don't like the way that I play guitar. Because there are a million one other guys out there that play drums. There are a million one other guys out there that play keys. And there are a million one other people out there that want to make music. And if Jason here and Duncan Cannell didn't want to do that with me, then cool. I'll just go and find someone else that wants to do it. You know,
wow, like, that's huge.
Yeah, it was.
It's that whole perspective thing. They're just a person like everyone else.
Yeah, yeah. But I just, you know, I didn't know them. And, of course, you know, I'm working in a situation that I wasn't aware of, you know. I didn't see them as just being regular dudes. And, of course, with time you just kind of get to, you know. Now I think, you know, Duncan's a bit of an idiot because he's my mate, you know,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He's like, oh, what's he doing? You know.
Yeah.
But, like, he's great. He's my mate and, you know, it's totally humanized him and normalized him. So I'm not in, it's quite the opposite. Duncan Cannell is actually one of the most beautiful human beings I've met. Mm. And whenever me and him meet up and grab a pizza or something, we're always talking about music and we're always talking about new things in music that we've found. Like, he was clearly a music nerd. I'm a music nerd.
Yeah.
We're always going to get along. But
yeah,
for some reason I was just scared of getting judged by them. So when I just stopped caring,
that's actually
things just started turning around.
Yeah.
You know? And then I landed that gig, and that doing that gig and getting that gig put me in so many other positions where I was sort of moving forward with music.
That brings us to the end of part one. Be sure to tune in next week to hear more. Tune in next week.
Subscribe,
review,
share,
and keep in touch.